We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
It's a. That's the anthem. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Owns. Owns.
Owns. Owns.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
We are penetrating the cultural zeitgeist here on Saturday Suckage. Welcome in, welcome back. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So some texts from before we really get to where we're going on this. 847 texter, what is Walmart selling Bajent jerseys for? That's really good. I'm going to get my former Frozen guy at Trader Joe's, Joey Ice, on this thing so we know that. And this one is really prescient and really on target. 262 texter, doesn't the CEO of Walmart own an NFL team? And yeah, the Walton Penner Family Ownership Group bought the franchise from the Pat Bowlen Trust in August 2022. Walton, of course, is Walmart. They paid $4.65 billion for it. So yeah, Walmart would have better sources than Colin Cowherd. Just saying. There you go. I'm bringing that up. But that's not why you called. 773 texture, I just shot coffee out of my nose. I have no idea why. 847 texture, best food to mix pot in? Nachos. See, I don't see that. The other texture here, 773 said pizza. And I could see that instead of oregano, right?
I think that's the winner.
That'd be good. That's what you're doing. All right. 60 years ago yesterday, this happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you.
And everything changed. Nothing was the same. Both rock and roll went crazy, went sideways, went nuts. Kids, ask your parents about the Ed Sullivan Show and the Beatles showing up on it. Story goes that Walter Cronkite, kids, ask your parents. He was the most trusted man in America, and he was delivering a news report, or his London bureau was, and they had done a story on the Beatles. And Ed Sullivan, as soon as the broadcast ended, the story goes, Ed Sullivan called Walter Cronkite at that famous desk where your parents saw him. Kids, ask your parents. And said, who are those people? I need to get in touch with them. And Walter Cronkite says, call our London Bureau. And that's the way he is. John Lennon would later tell a reporter, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. Which applied then and probably applies to a pop music sensation now, she could say the same thing.
What?
Play the Omaha separator, item separator. Oh, yeah, Robbie, right. Don't suck. This is professional radio. We're going to do this. We're going to separate items.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
Yeah, there you go. Jason Kelce, can we all agree on this? Jason Kelce is football's John Belushi. Isn't he the guy busts out of a suite, drink somebody else's beer, give some kind of Tarzan yell, and just, he's football Belushi. He's Bluto. Meanwhile, Jason Kelce's brother's girlfriend is a course at a college university. Remember we talked about a university. It was a university, not a college. Remember we talked about like Colorado University having a course modeled on Deion Sanders, right? Yep. And then we talked about you and I, your most famous campus figure that you think would be worthy of a class was the mascot.
Yeah, Louis the Laker for Grand Valley State. Not a lot of famous people coming out of...
And I talked about John Houseman, who is a director emeritus of the theater department at USC. Well, Taylor Swift is on the syllabus at Harvard, don't you know? This from the Harvard Crimson. In 2009, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing Taylor Swift's You Belong With Me on the radio and grocery stores and on TV. Harvard English professor Stephanie L. Burt, class of 94, remembers the first time she heard it, describing it as so much better and more compelling than all the other pop songs they were playing at the time. 14 years later, Burt is still a diehard Swiftie. Her interest in Swift followed her to the classroom. Harvard English department will debut the course Taylor Swift and Her World. Now, you're going to say, well, this is just seizing on, all right, this is just cheap. We're going to get niche courses, niche syllabus. Well, you're dealing with one of the biggest artists ever, one of the most popular artists ever, one of the most awarded artists ever, maybe the richest. But one of the things they'll study in this, and this is where you'll hate it, I took a cinema course, Cinema 101 at SC, and the professor comes, this instructor comes in, it says, and massive auditorium, and he's using the overhead projectors there. Okay, this is the name of the course. That's me. Next slide, that's me. That's my name. You should be in the, here's a course number. Here's my name. And the third slide was a picture of Mickey Mouse. This is the most famous movie star in the world, he says. And then he says, this is not another name for the quality of this course. And then he detailed what you would be expected to do. And writing papers, you're not just watching movies. So the Ms. Burt, the instructor in this, the Harvard professor teaching Taylor Swift course, Taylor Swift sometimes names her muses, her where she gets her, what her influences are. In her song, The Lakes, she sings the line, "Tell me what are my words worth," in reference to the English romantic poet William Wordsworth. To Burt, teacher in charge of this class and professor in charge of this class, Swift's lyrics are an open invitation to discover these cultural touchstones. She understands Swift to be saying, if you want to understand me better and my time in England better, maybe you should go read some Wordsworth. Required readings span from Willa Cather's Portrait of the Female Artist, The Song of the Lark, and James Weldon Johnson's The Autobiography of an Ex-Colored Man, a novel dissecting issues of race and class in the post-Reconstruction South. Says the professor, "We're lucky enough to be living in a time when one of our major artists is also one of the most famous people on the planet. Why would you not have a course on that?" She's more popular than Jesus, right? Right, John Lennon?
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
So speaking of the Super Bowl that Taylor Swift's boyfriend will play in, and speaking of Las Vegas and gambling, as we have, there's this tweet from Adam Schefter with a priceless follow-up. The Jaguars have asked FanDuel to reimburse them for some or all of the approximately $20 million in stolen proceeds a former employee lost on the site. but the company is unwilling to pay. To which the often hysterical comedy actor Albert Brooks retweeted, "I tried this in Lost in America. It doesn't work." I love him. We have a Cody Bellinger sighting. Cody Bellinger sighting. It was not in Chicago. It was at the famous, rowdy, noisy, even volcanic 16th hole at the Waste Management Open in Phoenix. You familiar with this, Robbie Triano?
Oh, yeah. So many of my friends go there and they lose their absolute minds.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of drunk texts, a lot of drunk pictures there.
And how early do they get there in order to establish any kind of ownership of terra firma?
I've had people go there around 4 or 5 a.m. who lined up there. And if you get there at 6 a.m., you're too late.
So these are, you see videos, you've seen it this week if you're looking for it. And sometimes even if you're not, people waiting at the gates, as you're talking about, and they've been there for hours, and the gates open, and people tear through them.
Sprinting.
To get to the 16th hole, which is done in such an amphitheater, such a Thunderdome design that you're surrounded. It must be, it feels like 17 stories high. And they're all rowdy. As you said, rowdy, drunk, whatever you want to do. They're encouraged to do this, encouraged to make noise. It is the most notorious hole in golf. Well, that's where Cody Bellinger was. However, let me tell you about the very rich. They are different from you and me. Because those seats that your guys tore for, Cody Bellinger did not do that. Cody Bellinger was sitting in the front row. And you're going, wait, how does, really? Well, they are now selling greenside seats. Folding chair, big plush chair. I don't know about plush, but folding chairs, they're padded. You can sit there for $2,400 for 4 days, the entire length of the tournament and the weekend, $6,000 a day. You can sit greenside at the notorious, the iconic 16th hole, the Waste Management Open, as Cody Bellinger was, and seated next to him was Corey Sager. Look at that. So there's Cody Bellinger, and this means he's, I guess, what, going to the Rangers, going to the Dodgers, going to the Diamondbacks, or the Bears are going to trade Fields. I think that's what we can read into
exactly. One or the two has to
tea leaves. That's what it must mean. So there's your Cody Bellinger update. John Williams turned 92 this week. The legendary composer of the Star Wars theme. John Williams is the soundtrack of generations. Everybody got their bullwhip ready? Yeah. The legendary composer of the Indiana Jones theme. And we're certainly not done. We're talking iconic. I am back announcing these like they teach you in radio school, but I don't need to. You know this. Again, John Williams, 92. He was the soundtrack of generations, and yet there's one more. I cried at E.T. I cried at E.T.
You big softy.
As an adult, when E.T. left and he and Elliot touched fingers, I cried. I would still puddle up if I saw that again. 92 years old, John Williams, soundtrack of generations. And this is such a wonderful, I mean, he did all those movies, most of them for Steven Spielberg. The story goes that on one film, Williams went to Spielberg and said, "You need a better composer than me for this." And Spielberg said, "You're right, but they're all dead."
Mozart, Beethoven, yeah, they're gone. Yeah, they're gone.
There we go.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
Here is your fortnight or so in Kyle Long tweets. If you're not following him on the tweeter machine, you're missing out. That's all I can say. "My daughter is just under 2 years old, still thinks daddy is a wizard. Just now, I made her realize why they call it string cheese. Looked at me like I split the atom." So along with this was a video pulling apart string cheese. "Treasure the idolatry, Kyle. Treasure it. Soon, she won't allow you to acknowledge her in public. Trust me, that's the way it's going to go." So there was a tweet from Garrett Hargis, who I do not know, but he tweeted at a traffic jam at a railroad stop and included this comment: "Is there anything worse than getting caught by the train?" To which Kyle Long reposted, "Getting hit by the train." This has been your fortnight in Kyle Long tweets. Gonna take a break. When we come back to Saturday Suckage and resume the cultural zeitgeist, there is a Super Bowl menu you might be interested in hearing about. You probably can't afford it or don't want to pay that much, but I'll bring that to you. And more. There's more Taylor Swift stuff, including something my daughter wrote. So I'll bring that to you, too. Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The name's not important, Philly Jane. If it was, they would be in the bumper you just heard there, but it's not. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, in case you were wondering, Philly Jane. And in reference to the music you were just playing, Robbie Triano, about John Williams, I knew people would be mad, because that's what they do. So we had some of the greatest, some of the most iconic, some of the best known songs, theme songs, music, the score that John Williams, who turned 92 this week, wrote for generations of movies, and movies that were didn't define a generation, they stick with you. So somebody could, do not forget the Olympic theme either, you turkeys. Okay, thank you very much. No Jurassic Park, says 708. 469. John Williams did Superman 1 and 2. 2! there were several Superman references, and I look, we just played what we played.
You know, he also did Harry Potter as well.
Actually, I did not know that.
Isn't that incredible? Man, how do you have all those genius, like, notes in your head? That's to even what make?
Well, that's why he writes them, so they get out of his head.
Oh, that's
and
true.
He does that. He's
he lets them escape.
312 texture talking about the story about Ed Sullivan calling Walter Cronkite. 312 texture says, Steve, I hate to tell you this, but if kids don't know who Walter Cronkite is, you got to say, ask your grandparents. That's very nice. 630, Jason Kelsey is annoying as hell. No, Jason Kelsey is fun. Come on. Jason Kelsey is this football generation's John Belushi. He's Bluto. All right, back to our cultural zeitgeist, and it's Super Bowl, so we have many Super Bowl items and Taylor Swift items and things you just need to know and hear. Let me tell you about the very rich. They are different from you and me. Let's talk Super Bowl suites. Let's talk about the food in the suites. Levy Restaurants is servicing, catering, bringing food to the suites, including the greatest shrimp cocktail tower, Sin City's King Crab Fried Rice, Wagyu Tenderloin, Lobster Steak or Gruyere Quesadillas, and Breakfast for Dinner, which includes buttermilk fried chicken and waffles and maple syrup. And it's like breakfast for breakfast, really, because in Vegas, like the Wake and Bake Club, whenever you wake up, it's what you want it to be. You can bake. Whenever you wake up in Vegas, it's your morning.
That's smoke weed every day.
The way it goes. There will be special dessert items, too, for these suites. Hot dog macaron. It's a chocolate-covered banana, chocolate macaron, vanilla ganache, and strawberry sauce, and specialty Super Bowl chocolate boxes. But wait, there's more. Souvenir popcorn by the Doors, not the Doors, the group, the Doors leading into the suites. Bacon-wrapped hot dogs. Barbecue burnt end burritos. Carne asada fries. And frozen cheesecake. Now how much would you pay? How about $2.5 million? That's what that suite's going for. All that food, that's what the suite's going for. Some of the items that will be available in suites will be available in the stands. The Wagyu loaded hot dog, crispy onions, banana peppers, Wagyu brisket burnt ends on top of the Wagyu hot dog. You can buy them. I don't have a price for that. I would love to know what that is going to cost. Wagyu burnt ends, oh my God, in a Wagyu hot dog at Allegiant Stadium on Super Bowl Sunday. That would be like $100. And you know, funny thing is, in Vegas, people would turned out to be quicker to pay $100 for something that they could have gotten for $75. There are stories of street artists selling their, hawking their wares on the street, especially downtown. And it was, whatever their art was, it was $75. No business. He raised it to $100. He sold out. This one artist telling the story. Because in Vegas, that's the coin of the realm. C-notes.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
773 texture. Man, you suck, Steve. Right. 262. Rosenblum, you are priceless. No. I suck. Let's get back to that. 773 texture. You had me at bacon wrapped. I love that. It's like you're part of the I'm Fat podcast. So there are more Taylor Swift items because her boyfriend's in the Super Bowl. Roger Goodell said having the Taylor Swift effect is positive. Thank you, Commissioner Obvious. Really?
No duh.
Really, the most popular person in the world right now. bigger than your league, and that would be a positive effect. But he was pointing to Chiefs-Ravens game, set an all-time record for conference championship games at CBS. And this is really, this is the thing, because there's so much Taylor Swift stuff to cover. You're going to not just see her, but see the Taylor Swift effect tomorrow. Should you watch the commercials, or actually should you watch the football game, is really, the football is really the commercials, and the commercials are really the stars of the show if they're done right. There will be three health and beauty aid ads, three of them, that will be on the Super Bowl. Talk about the Taylor Swift effect. And one of them is specifically Taylor Swift. She's not her, but there's a Cetaphil commercial. Father, daughter, football, jerseys. It's one of the sweetest things. So you can see that online now, or you can wait to just have it happen organically. And that will be one of the, that will be one of the ads you'll see. And a hat tip to former colleague, Richard Roper. He writes in the Sun-Times and, of course, writes about movie theaters, from movie theaters, in movie theaters, talks about movie theaters and movies everywhere. And he's terrific at what he does. So, last Sunday, he tweeted a shot of Taylor Swift on stage with yet another Grammy Award, and captioned it, Richard Roper did, captioned it thusly. Ugh, why do they keep showing this football fan? She's ruining the Grammys. That is so well done. So well done, Richard. So I don't know, this isn't specifically Super Bowl, but since it's an item now, let's play the Omaha, and I'll get to that.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
Okay. This, maybe you bring this to a Super Bowl party, because it does have, it does, it it resounds when you say Super Bowl, when I'm about to describe this to you. Empirical Brands has created, I think you need to sit down for this, a vodka, a flavored vodka, a Doritos nacho cheese flavored vodka.
Oh, God.
What do you think, Robbie?
I'm gagging.
Empirical Brands has created, it's out at places, nacho cheese flavored vodka. Now, nacho cheese chips, right, are regular.
Yeah, they're good.
That sometimes they're a good base for a nachos. Sometimes just right out of the bag, you just offer them. They're part of all of the many finger foods at Super Bowls. Now, because alcohol has to be there or if it's not a Super Bowl. Nacho cheese flavored vodka. Food and Wine reviewed it. And here's some of what Food and Wine wrote. Lars Williams, the former chef and self-avowed flavor expert who spent time at Noma, I mean, that's high end, right? Before breaking off to co-found Empirical in 2017, says this. In Empirical's very early days in Copenhagen, a team member returned from lunch with a sandwich and a bag of Doritos. Now you're telling the origin story of this. This sounds like the movie that, did you ever see this? Have you watched the series Chef's Table?
I have not.
It's terrific. And all chefs from all places are talking about, and in this wonderful lighting and certain elements where they were, where they live, how they live, talking about, and their origin story of where it came from, like Nancy Silverton about the mozza from the La Brea Bread Company to mozza and all that stuff. So this sounds like a Chef's Table tale. Lars Williams continues, curiosity led me to turn this snack into a spirit. Upon tasting it, the result was amazing and we burst into laughter. We shared it with friends, especially chefs. We would just give them a little glass without telling them what it was. The sheer joy in their face was amazing to watch. Food and Wine writes, one sniff of the spirit is enough to reveal its anchor ingredient. The bouquet is brimming with the unmistakable tang of cheese dust. Unmistakable tang of cheese dust. There's an act at Lollapalooza. But in the sip, it's all about the cornier elements. It leaves your palate with a drying note. Well, yeah, you just told me it has cheese dust. Of course it's going to be dry. Akin to accumulates on your tongue after you've crushed a sizable bag of corn chips. In other words, it's more Fritos than Doritos. So the arrival is in some places now, as I understand it. The product is called Empirical Times Doritos Nacho Cheese Spirit. What would you guess the price is going to be?
For like a liter of it?
Bottle, standard bottle.
I'll say $25. Am I way off?
Way under.
Well, give me 75 then.
You know what? You just outkicked your coverage, but not by much. $65 for a bottle of Doritos nacho cheese flavored vodka.
Do you need a chaser for that?
Yeah, I suppose you need caramelized onion dip or yeah. salsa.
A chip afterwards. Yeah.
There you go. All right. We'll take a break before we close. 773 texture, listening to this explanation. Isn't that a sign of the apocalypse? Like we need another sign? Yeah. 773 texture, another one says, I bet that would be great in a Bloody Mary.
Now that I can get with. I can get behind that.
Nacho cheese flavored in a Bloody Mary.
The tomato juice just soaks all of that up.
Sure, so. If you're going to dip it in salsa, you might as well. You could do that.
Yeah, it's like
I never thought
salsa.
Of that.
Yeah.
Wow, I never thought of that. That's great. 630, Steve, you suck pricelessly. Well, yeah, sure. And I still come back to you had me at bacon wrapped. Now I'll know. Take a break when we come back. We still have a special and topical riff, one of the all-time great guitar riffs to bring you. We'll rank that. And there's still more Super Bowl news. I wouldn't want to miss out on that. And just the general nonsense of the cultural zeitgeist and Saturday suckage. And we'll see if we can do some Wake and Bake Club news. Don't worry, people. You can get to your nacho cheese-flavored vodka at 2 o'clock. It's not too long now. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station. I do amend my carnivorous
habits. Welcome and welcome back. The Cultural Zeitgeist will be closing out this show. And we'll do it. As I started this a couple months ago, somebody got upset, so I thought, what a good reason to continue it. It is the greatest riffs in rock history. It's what I do, and it's my list. And so now it's time for the 12th greatest riff in rock history. There you go. That's it. In honor of the Beatles debuting on Ed Sullivan 60 years ago yesterday, I thought it was appropriate to find the one, you know, a riff from a great rock, everything changed when they showed up in the Ed Sullivan Show. So the 12th greatest riff in rock history is Hard Day's Night. Thank you. We amuse ourselves, don't we, Robbie? All right. CBS will be showing the game tomorrow. Do we have the music for that, for Tony Romo and Jim Nance? I forgot to mention that. Do we have that as we do production? Well, don't worry about it. Skip it. CBS is going to be using it has a new camera. They always try to improve on it for the Super Bowl. They've used it during the season. You may have seen it, may or not, sometimes regional games. They are going to have the Doink Cam. What would you guess that is, Robbie?
I'm guessing if it hits the upright.
Right.
Yeah.
Wide angle lenses, cameras in the upright. It's called the Doink Cam. And CBS is rooting for a doink, Cody Parkey. Yes, they are. Bank of America has a slant on the Super Bowl because doesn't everybody? It has a global report, and it played around with Super Bowl items like they were stocks. So it starts with this. In 1967, a Super Bowl ad went for $37,500. You know what it's going for tomorrow? $7
million. Ooh.
30 seconds. So that's a 185% jump. Quoting Bank of America, nothing keeps pace with Super Bowl inflation, but if they could, right, at 185% of the price from 1967, chicken wings would cost $43 a pound. $43 a pound. A six-pack of beer from 1967 to now, what do you think, Robbie? How much would it, at 185% jump?
A six pack. Let's go with $26.
$340.
Oh my God.
You suck at math worse than I do. And a gallon of gasoline, 185 times what it cost in 1967. How much would a gallon of gasoline go for now if it kept pace with Super Bowl ads?
Let's go with $400.
Wow. That's wrong, but you know, at least you're on the better side. $61 a gallon.
Oh, that was still terrible.
Yeah. All right. So Peyton Manning once more. Peyton Manning.
Omaha! Omaha! Omaha!
My daughter Allie Rosenblum wrote for CNN Entertainment. It's up now. You can go there and read it. There's do you remember? I didn't remember when Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo, and she's wearing the pink jersey, and this is 2007, and she became like Yoko Simpson. He had a horrible game and all that. So when Taylor Swift entered her Travis Kelce era, and when they started dating and these two crazy kids began their romance, there was a Kansas City supporter who did not want her to become Yoko Swift. So he posted on TikTok Kansas City Chiefs history. He posted on TikTok the kind of things that would help Swifties as they came to the Chiefs. And that my daughter is writing about this new group called Chiefties. That's it. That's all the Super Bowl stuff I got. It's all the Taylor trackers up. You can go find it. If nobody important listens, I'll be back tomorrow. Or no, not tomorrow. I'm not going to be back tomorrow.
We suck.
All right. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. God, we suck to the end. You started this and I finished it, Robbie. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I do amend my carnivorous habits.
Welcome and welcome back. The Cultural Zeitgeist will be closing out this show. And we'll do it. As I started this a couple months ago, somebody got upset, so I thought, what a good reason to continue it. It is the greatest riffs in rock history. It's what I do, and it's my list. And so now it's time for the 12th greatest riff in rock history. There you go. That's it. In honor of the Beatles debuting on Ed Sullivan 60 years ago yesterday, I thought it was appropriate to find the one, you know, a riff from a great rock. Everything changed when they showed up in the Ed Sullivan Show. So the 12th greatest riff in rock history is Hard Day's Night. Thank you. We amuse ourselves, don't we, Robbie? All right. CBS will be showing the game tomorrow. But do we have the music for that, for Tony Romo and Jim Nantz? I forgot to mention that. Do we have that as we do production? Well, don't worry about it. Skip it. CBS is going to be using its It has a new camera. They always try to improve on it for the Super Bowl. They've used it during the season. You may have seen it, may or not, sometimes regional games. They are going to have the Doink Cam. What would you guess that is, Robbie?
I'm guessing if it hits the upright.
Right.
Yeah.
Wide-angle lenses, cameras in the upright. It's called the Doink Cam. And CBS is rooting for a doink, Cody Parkey. Yes, they are. Bank of America has a slant on the Super Bowl because doesn't everybody? It has a global report, and it played around with Super Bowl items like they were stocks. So it starts with this. In 1967, a Super Bowl ad went for $37,500. You know what it's going for tomorrow? $7
million.
30 seconds. So that's a 185% jump. Quoting Bank of America, nothing keeps pace with Super Bowl inflation, but if they could, right, at 185% of the price for 1967, chicken wings would cost $43 a pound. $43 a pound. A six-pack of beer from 1967 to now, what do you think, Robbie? How much would it, at 185% jump?
Oh, I was a six pack. Let's go with $26.
$340.
Oh, I was. Oh, my God.
You suck at math worse than I do. And a gallon of gasoline, 185 times what it cost in 1967. How much would a gallon of gasoline go for now if it kept pace with Super Bowl ads?
Let's go with $400.
Wow. That's wrong, but. You know, at least you're on the better side, $61 a gallon.
Oh, that was still terrible.
Yeah. All right. So, Peyton Manning once more. One more time. Peyton Manning. My daughter, Allie Rosenblum, wrote for CNN Entertainment. It's up now. You can go there and read it. There's, do you remember? I didn't remember when Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo, and she's wearing the pink jersey, and this is 2007, and she became like Yoko Simpson. He had a horrible game and all that. So when Taylor Swift entered her Travis Kelce era, and when they started dating and these two crazy kids began their romance, there was a Kansas City supporter who did not want her to become Yoko Swift. So he posted on TikTok, Kansas City Chiefs history. He posted on TikTok the kind of things that would help Swifties as they came to the Chiefs. And that my daughter is writing about this new group called Chiefties. That's it. That's all the Super Bowl stuff I got. It's all the Taylor trackers up. You can go find it. If nobody important listens, I'll be back tomorrow. Or no, not tomorrow. I'm not going to be back tomorrow.
We suck.
All right. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. God, we sucked to the end. You started this and I finished it, Robbie. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.